Hello and welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. We're coming to you live from London. I'm James Menendez. The number of daily COVID cases in the US has broken a new record. President Trump is about to make an address at the White House very shortly. Just looking at the screens, the podium's still empty at the moment, but we'll be listening to what he has to say and let you know later in the programme. But we are going to start today in Ethiopia, in the Horn of Africa, and the conflict that's erupted in the north of the country in the Tigray region between fighters of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, and federal government forces. Ethiopia is made up of several ethnic groups. The Oromo and Amhara are the two largest. The current Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, is an Oromo. But for years, the government was controlled by the Tigrayans, just 6% of the population. Mr. Ahmed came to power promising to bring the country together and make peace with its neighbours, especially Eritrea, and he won a Nobel Peace Prize. But there are fears that the current conflict is pulling the country apart. On Thursday, the rights group Amnesty International told us of credible reports of a massacre of civilians in one town, Maykadra, in Tigray. Hundreds of people were killed by, say witnesses, retreating TPLF fighters, something they've denied. The UN said today the allegations may constitute a war crime. Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed said the TPLF was heading for defeat and urged its fighters to surrender.
This mischievous force is surrounded on all sides. It is a force in its final throes of death. Your children are suffering death and injuries on the front line. Rise up against this clique or defect to the Ethiopian Defence Forces. Use the opportunity given to you by your country in the next 2 or 3 days. Save yourself.
Well, let's get two versions of what happened in Maykadra and the wider conflict. First, let's hear from a member of the governing Prosperity Party, Mustafa Omer, who's president of Ethiopia's eastern Somali region.
In Maykadra, hundreds of innocent civilians were massacred by the TPLF forces, some of them beheaded. And this account is confirmed by the Amnesty International.
We spoke to Amnesty International and they didn't say that. They thought that scores or hundreds of people may have been hacked to death, and they say that most of them were civilians. How do you know that this was the work of the TPLF?
Survivors spoke to international media as well as to local media. And also, we know that the TPLF forces were occupying the town by the time the atrocities were committed.
Why would they do that? Why would they kill so many civilians? What did they have to gain?
Perhaps some of the international media and the international community are not linking this to the behavior of the TPLF in the past when they were in power in Ethiopia. Similar killings were conducted by TPLF in the Somali region, in Oromia, in Amhara, in Sidama, and different parts of the country. So this is there's a pattern to this. It's not an isolated incident. The TPLF is known to attack civilians whenever there's a conflict in a given area. So they have a history of violence and massacres. Nothing new about this one.
Right. And is it your understanding that they were somehow punishing civilians for helping government forces?
No, the TPLF is extremely anti-Amhara. They did this to take revenge on the Amharas in Maykadra. Because they believe the attack by the federal government is pushed what they consider as their rivals. That is their narrative. So they have reason to kill those people as a revenge.
And will the government be allowing international investigators, perhaps investigators from the United Nations, into the area to try and establish exactly what happened?
Well, right now, the government is working on bringing the perpetrators of this crime and also many other crimes and the outlaws in Makale, the TPLF junta. That is the focus of the government. When the time is right, of course, yes, this and other crimes against humanity will be uncovered.
I just wonder, though, given how many people are alleged to have died and the fact that they were civilians, isn't this incident alone a reason to try and end the fighting right now, so that something like this doesn't happen again in the future?
That's right. Nobody is interested in a prolonged confrontation, but this can end when the fugitives are brought before law. And therefore, if international partners are genuine about helping the situation, I think rather than making generic statements about dialogue, which, by the way, has been tried repeatedly, or for de-escalation, as if the confrontation is between two sovereign countries, which it is not. International partners should be asking the TPLF-Kilik to disarm and to give up.
The Prime Minister has told Tigrayan forces to surrender within the next few days. But what happens if they don't? I mean, that sounds like a threat of a full-scale onslaught.
Definitely, the law enforcement operation will continue until it achieves its objective, which is to bring the TPLF junta to book for the crimes they have committed against Ethiopians, not only recently, but in the last 27 years. So unless this criminality is stopped, the risk of a wider spillover is possible. I agree with your concern, but the solution is to stop the criminals from doing this rather than compromising with the TPLF clique, who understand only the language of force and who have completely frustrated all other options other than what's happening now, the law enforcement operation.
So just to be clear, no let-up in the government's offensive until the TPLF are defeated completely?
Absolutely.
Mustafa Omer of the governing Prosperity Party. Well, Alula Solomon is from Tigray. His family have had to flee the latest fighting, and he knows the TPLF well. He runs Tigray Media House, a satellite TV station which has an office in Washington, D.C. What does he think happened in that town, Maykadra?
What happened actually is I called people who live there is a kind of communal clash. The story from the government is filled with propaganda to attract support from the Amhara, you know, in their fight against the Tigrayan regional state.
But when we spoke to Amnesty International on the program last night, they said that the people that they'd had the information from about the massacre had pointed the finger too at the TPLF.
That's not accurate. In fact, the TPLF is in the capital. They don't have control anymore in that area. The people who were there witnessed that it is a communal clash of residents of different ethnic groups. We have journalists there. My family are from there. Now they flee to Sudan to escape violence. There is no electricity, telephone, internet connection in that area. But since they escaped to Sudan, they have now Sudanese number. So I called them. They told me everything. Actually, people killed each other in that area, apart from what's going on between the federal and the Tigray governments.
And on that conflict, how can you be surprised that the national government has responded, given that it was TPLF forces at the beginning of the month who attacked federal army bases, took some of their weapons? I mean, that was always going to invite a military response, wasn't it?
Well, here is the thing. When you want to respond to a certain group or to the Tigrayan government, you don't declare full-fledged war against people. You don't send warplanes and bombard villages and towns. And you don't send the whole army plus militias, special police from the Amhara region. You cannot say, like, this is just a law enforcement operation.
And it's not. And the Prime Minister made that clear in his speech. He says the old guards of the TPLF have continuously mounted both covert and overt attempts to undermine the people of Ethiopia and our new administration. I mean, he's quite clear where the blame lies, isn't he?
What transpired during the last 3 months in Ethiopia is actually journalists being thrown to jail, prominent political leaders from the Oromo, the Wolaita, and Sidama, and Tigrayans as well. In thousands, they've been thrown to jail. And Abiy Ahmed, who won the Nobel Peace Prize just a year ago, actually extended his term, which has expired on October 5. You cannot say, like, it's just only between Tigray and federal government.
Just finally, what do the people of Tigray want? Do they want to be independent?
No, they want self-administration under the umbrella of Ethiopian Federation. They are for the current constitution. So they want to elect their leaders instead of having leaders from the center. Abiy is trying to put his own invoice everywhere. Mustafa Omar, for example, is one of them. He's just handpicked. He was not elected. And actually, Abiy right now, he's trying to impose the same thing on Tigray as well.
From everything you said and from everything that Mr. Mustafa said, it sounds like the two sides are as far apart as ever and there's no sign of an end to this conflict. It's just going to get worse.
People have to come to the table. They have to negotiate. I would love to see, you know, an all-inclusive national dialogue. Political prisoners should be released. Otherwise, it will continue like this. It will actually worsen. Now the country is heading towards a complete civil war.
That was Alula Solomon of the Tigray Media House speaking to us from Minnesota. Austria has admitted